You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Americans need to be able to sue these companies. You know, if you've been locked out of Twitter, or if you can't distribute this New York Post article on Facebook, you ought to be able to sue them. You could do that with another company, but you can't do it with Facebook and Twitter, Google, because of the special sweetheart deal they get from the federal government. And by the way, that's how they've gotten so big and powerful. They haven't done this on their own. They've gotten to be these monopolies because the government, 20 years ago, gave them this sweetheart deal, and it's time for it to end.
Time for it to end. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, October the 16th, 2020. He's talking about a piece of internet legislation, Section 230, passed into law as part of the Communications Decency Act 1996, also known as the Title V of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. I'm not going to get into all the great details of it, but let me take you to the very bottom line of it. And we're going to do a lot more over the next 2 hours. This basically, this Section 230 provides, quote, good Samaritan protection from civil liability for operators of interactive computer services in the removal or moderation of third-party material they deem offensive or obscene, even of constitutionally protected speech, as long as that removal is done in good faith. We have now seen a perfect example of where they're not acting in good faith and why this needs to be revoked. The way Twitter and Facebook rush forward to stop the story from spreading from the New York Post that it had emails from a computer that belonged at one time to Hunter Biden. And not only emails, but various photographs showing him in compromising situations. And Twitter and Facebook together decided shut it down. Shut down the New York Post social media sites. Shut down the White House as they talked about it. Shut down Senators Cruz and Lindsey Graham and others as they talked about it. In other words, if we shut it down, it doesn't exist. Well, it does exist. The Hunter Biden tapes do exist. And I'm not going to say that I know for sure each and everything being released about them is accurate. I don't know. I don't have inside information. Even those reporting it admit there might be some questions. But you don't shut the story down on that basis, because if you were, how many times should they have shut down the story about the so-called P dossier involving Trump and prostitutes in Russia, the whole Russian collusion story, and all the other lies and so forth that come forward? Our folks who get on the internet and call Trump a racist, Nazi, and blame him for killing 200,000 because of COVID. None of that is true. Not one part of it is true. But they hide behind this protection. Now again, this 230 was passed at a time when internet use was just starting to expand in services and consumers. It's frequently now referred to as a key law that allowed the internet to flourish. Some have even called the wording that sets it in place the 26 words that created the internet. We are going to get into this in more detail. And we're going to talk about how mainstream media on the left is also ignored in trying to hide the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden story. And yes, you had President Trump last night on NBC with a supposed, it was a town hall meeting, but most of the questions came from the host, Samantha Guthrie. About a third of the beginning of it was all her questions, not the people asking questions. Plus, there are stories, and it's being documented, that various NBC affiliates across the nation, particularly in blue cities and blue-controlled areas, did not air the NBC programming. Why? Conflict? They didn't know about it? They thought you might be watching the Biden appearance on ABC, so they decide to delay the Trump and play it later? Oh, they got a lot of excuses. We're going to get into all of them. And when you talk about the town hall for Biden, this was just simply another full public relations campaign, this time run by ABC. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You were asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy.
No,
my question to you is,
you've done this to me and everybody.
Why does it seem like...
I denounce white supremacy, okay?
You did 2 days later.
I denounced white supremacy for years, but you always do it. You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt. And he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
This is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you
hesitant.
Wait a beat.
Here we go again. Every time, in fact, my people came, I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities.
That is President Trump last night in Miami as NBC hosted a town hall meeting with a moderator, supposed to be a moderator. Moderator's allowed to ask questions, but she dominated the beginning of it. And, of course, they've got to bring that question up. How many times does that have to be put down and put to rest? And as Trump said, you ask me this all the time. I knew this was coming. Is that your gotcha question? Is that what you think? You just heard a clip of how long they spent on that one issue. Samantha Guthrie, trying to be a journalist for NBC. But when you continue to go over the same track over and over and over again, and you got the answer, but it's not the way you want it said. Isn't that right? See, that's the problem on those on the left as to what they want. Trump's not saying it the way we want. As she said, I sense there's a hesitancy. You sense what? You sense the fact that you're continuing to just absolutely make whatever you can make out of nothing? This is a clear example of how far the media has gone. I know there are many of you who might believe, because you haven't really been paying attention to news and so forth over the last, up until maybe the last 4 to 6 years or something like that. And I know that. I've heard some of you that I don't really like politics, I don't like, you know, but I'm kind of getting engaged. You might have thought we have always had news done this way, that we would continue to pound the drum when the answer has already been given. I don't know how many interviews I've done over the 50-plus years as a news journalist. As a journalist, not what I'm doing here now. I don't claim at this point on this program I'm trying to act like a journalist. I still have the basic fabric of journalistic ethics and fairness built into me. I always try to make sure you know the other side. And I also offer that balance, and sometimes to the point where I've got folks on the right upset that, hey, you shouldn't get into that. You're just giving them ammunition. Well, if it's a fact that needs to be covered, I'm going to cover it. But as a journalist, when you ask the question, take a run at it 1-2 times, okay, move on. It was all about Savannah Guthrie trying to make the program about her, which she did. Once again, Savannah Guthrie, why did you hesitate? And he said, I denounced it, but it wasn't good enough. He said, what's your next question? And then she said, you're being hesitant to do so. No, he wasn't any hesitant. He wasn't then, he hasn't been at any point. Why do they keep pushing that question, the narrative? Because they think that might resonate with minority voters going to the polls. And those who are not minority but are bought into all the other stories going around right now. It's going to blow up in their face. But that's all right. I don't mind that. The other thing that took place in this event last night, if you recall, yesterday I was telling you already, members of even NBC, including Katie Couric, I don't even know if she's with them anymore, but others coming forward and saying, we don't like this. Our network should not be giving this time frame to Donald Trump. It's a presidential election year. But their concern was twofold. One, Biden was scheduled on ABC at exactly the same time doing, quote, a town hall, where really he was just in a studio set up somewhere. They had folks maybe 5 or 6 in some distant stadium seats and then taking questions via telecommunications and so forth. So it wasn't really a town hall, but let them call it that. And they were afraid that it would take away from anybody watching Biden. In fact, they're saying, why are you trying to divide, make the public decide which one they want to watch first or watch it all? That's what the election is all about. Which one are you going to go with? And I mentioned yesterday, they're probably afraid also of how the ratings will come in and show the ABC program got zip compared to Trump. But, they have found a way to kind of manage that as well. Numerous NBC affiliates, mostly in blue cities and blue areas, did not air the Trump NBC town hall live, if at all. They put it on another channel. Or they put it to tape to play back at a later hour. And I'm sure their thought was, well, we wanted to give folks a chance to see one of them live and the other one not. So how did they decide that the Biden story would go first? I mean, the Biden town hall. And NBC not airing that live at those various affiliates. Whatever they put up, they figured our folks would go to watch Joe Biden on ABC. We'll see how the numbers come in, whether or not it works. And, of course, a big question for Joe Biden last night that should have been asked about, let me see, what's been in the news over the last 24, 36, 48 hours, and longer than that, but the New York Post story breaking the other day that it had a computer, emails from that computer from Hunter Biden showing his relationship with Burisma, showing him working out money details and opportunities for him and his family, and somebody named Jay, Big Jim, that is. Now, we don't know for sure who Big Jim is, but he has an uncle that is Joe Biden's brother, James Biden, and also in the emails talking about put some money aside for the big guy. Now, would that be Joe Biden? Many are saying, well, we don't know if it's fully accurate. That doesn't stop the mainstream media from running with whatever they choose if it's going to be damning and damaging to Trump and Trump supporters. They are not going to ask a second time. We got it. We're running with it. We will check it later. So the attitude of the mainstream media was, we don't know if it's true, so we're not going to air it. And social media use that same thing. In other words, censor it and then investigate it. Yes, there's a legitimate reason many times to double-check a story before you air or put it on. I understand that. But when it's already released in a public, major publication, like the New York Post, you can't deny it exists, so you should be doing a story on how it's being covered or not covered. Or say, the Post is reporting. It is as simple as that. It is an attribution. You're not saying it's true. You're saying the New York Post says it has this. That's all you have to do. It is a basic journalism premise. You either need to attribute or you put an allegation with it. The emails allegedly came from Hunter Biden's computer. The emails allegedly show this. It is that simple if you're trying to be an honest journalist. That is not what we're seeing from mainstream media now. And George Stephanopoulos of ABC, who at one time had been a part of the Bill Clinton White House, was the moderator for ABC. He's going to give softball questions. He can ask what he wants, but he didn't press Biden at all like Savannah Guthrie was doing Trump. But he did not raise one single question about the Hunter Biden tapes as reported by the New York Post. Not one. How the hell can you have the former vice president campaigning for president on your air in front of you live and you don't ask, Mr. Vice President, the New York Post reported, what is your response? He's going to deny it, we know that, but you're going to ask, and you should ask a few more. Well, Stephanopoulos is trying to prove that I'm going to be fair. I'm going to ask something that would show that Biden might have been, you know, maybe behind the curve a little bit. We don't want to say he's out of the ballpark, but a little behind the curve when it came to the COVID epidemic. Listen to this.
There's no record of you calling for social distancing, limited social gatherings, mandatory masks.
Not back then.
In January, February.
No, in January, February. No, that's correct. There wasn't. That came at the end of March, and then I laid out a detailed plan relative to school openings in June and July. So what we should be doing now, there should be a national standard. Instead of leaving this up, remember what the president said to the governors. Well, they're on their own. That's not my responsibility. The governors can do what they need to do. Not my responsibility. It is a presidential responsibility to lead. And he didn't do that. He didn't talk about what needed to be done because he kept worrying, in my view, about the stock market.
Now, I let that go on and on because you heard Biden say that the president didn't really lead. Let me remind you that governors in March were praising Trump's response. New York Governor Cuomo thanking Trump and Vice President Pence for efforts to help that state contain the outbreak. Cuomo saying, I want to thank the president. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Democrat. I can tell you, he said that the vice president spends countless hours on the phone with governors every week. I want to thank you and the president. Then in April, Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, Democrat, said we are grateful to President Trump for helping Louisiana in this battle. What we will have, obviously, that kind of stuff they've since walked away from. And that was the supposedly the big question. I mean, the pandemic, if it's been that big of a story, George said, I'm not going to miss a big story. Not going to miss a big story. That elephant in the room is standing on top of you, and you won't ask him about Hunter Biden? There was a question that came from a quote, town hall listener, participant, whatever, that kind of put Joe Biden in a strange position. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So last night, the former Vice President Joe Biden in this town hall hosted by ABC got a question from a voter, a woman from Pennsylvania, saying that she's a proud mom of two girls, 8 and 10, and she said, my youngest daughter is transgender. And I look at what Trump is doing to stop transgender movement, even removing the word transgender from some government websites. How will you as president reverse this? Biden's first response is, I will flat out just change the law. And then he got into a storyline. He got into a story because he thought, I always have a story for everything. He talked about going to get an application to be a lifeguard in the African-American community. He had to throw that in, didn't he? And then he talked about he was with his dad at the time, and here's what he saw and what he had to say after that.
These two men, well-dressed, leaned up and hugged one another and kissed one another. I'm getting out of the car at the light, and I turned to my dad. My dad looked at me and said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other. The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination.
Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not for discriminating against anyone, and I'm going to use the term sexual preference. I don't care that the dictionary has now changed it to fit the call from the left that that's a wrong term, which they lectured the Justice Barrett the other day on it. But I'm for stopping any discrimination based on anything like that, on your race, your religion, or anything. I believe all people should be equal. However, my problem with Joe Biden in that remark, that one remark, let me read it to you. He said, aside from his story about watching the two men, he said, the idea that an 8-year-old child, a 10-year-old child, decides I want to be transgender, 8 and 10-year-old, do you think they know, really, what transgender is? Do you think they are capable of making a major decision that could affect them the rest of their lives? That's the problem I have with it. That is the major issue. But we've gotten to that with the left right now. Oh, we'll just let the kids do whatever they want. You know, they want to do this. We're just going to let them have their way. 8 years old, even 10, we have adults right now wrestling with that argument in themselves. And I feel for you. I do. I don't understand it, but it's you and it's not me, and it's your feelings and what your battle is. But I will say this. I feel for you if you're battling that you feel that you are an opposite gender than what you're biologically formed. I'm not dismissing your concerns and so forth. But now to start saying, oh, yeah, let's let eight-year-olds. You know what this does? This takes us back to NAMBA. You know what that is? North American Men Boy Association. I did an extended documentary on them decades ago. And they were saying then, we're not pedophiles. We're not preying on children. We're helping children learn about love. And they were dealing with 8- and 10-year-old kids then, saying it's okay to show them how to have sex, because we're showing them about love. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. I want to go back into some more of the how the mainstream media is dealing or not dealing with the Hunter Biden tapes. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
That's Joe Biden being very proudful of what he did in dealing with Ukraine and an investigation into Burisma, with his son serving on the board of Burisma Energy Company in Ukraine. Those statements made by Biden in 2018, of course, after he's out of office, and he was talking to the Foreign Relations Committee and talking about how he took care of things. See, Joe Biden had been given authority by President Obama to deal with two countries, Ukraine and China. And when it came to Ukraine, Joe Biden was the one who was going to make a decision. Do they get $1 billion of federal U.S. money and programs, or they don't? And that's what he is saying. He said, if you want this $1 billion, you fire that investigator carrying out the inquiry into Burisma. Well, SOB, they did. Isn't it funny? Look what I did. Now, of course, we had the New York Post the other day beginning to release what it says are emails from Hunter Biden to others, from a computer belonging to, or a computer Hunter Biden had access to at some point or another. And they also pointed out there are numerous pictures on that email as well, I mean on that computer, that say, let's say, show him Hunter Biden in a compromising situation. One of them has been circulated that supposedly came from that, and supposedly is not fake, of him in bed sleeping with a crack pipe hanging halfway out of his open mouth. Now, again, I cannot verify if the emails are accurate. I haven't seen the base premise. The New York Post said it had verified it enough that it could go with it. And the guy that supplied, apparently, the copies to them had already, apparently, turned over the copies to Rudy Giuliani, a Trump lawyer, of course, and also those were also presented to the FBI, supposedly, and others. But nothing was done. And so when no investigation was starting and firing up, I guess the guy decided, I might as well dump this in the New York Post, see what they will do. And then how it's being covered, both in the mainstream media of networks and major publications, in addition to the social media giants, all of that is another big story, which we're going to get into in the next hour. But let's focus right now on just what the issue is as to what might be on those emails. Senator Kennedy of Louisiana, Republican, says when he looks at what the emails purport to say and what Hunter Biden was apparently doing, it's wrong.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm telling you this. This is the message it sent to the rest of the world. The foreign policy of the United States of America can be bought like a sack of potatoes.
Again, that is Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. Now, talking about the story and the emails as they've been presented. One of the emails is from 2015 from Burisma advisor Vadim Pozharsky to Hunter Biden, thanking him for, quote, the opportunity to meet your father. It doesn't indicate whether he's describing a meeting that's already occurred, that one or one is going to occur in the future. The Post also reported an April 17, 2015 email that dealt with the same issue. Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. Joe Biden had said, I didn't have anything to do with my son and any of the activities of Burisma. But Devin Archer, one of the big investors and also on the board, did play golf with Joe Biden. There's a picture published of that already. And a lot of deals are done on the golf course. You do know that. But Joe Biden's full of attitude has been, we've done nothing, I did nothing, not being involved in anything. Well, in August of 2020, Senator Johnson was chairing a Senate committee that had authority to issue subpoenas for records and testimony to certain agencies relating to the FBI investigation of Hurricane Crossfire Hurricane, as they called it, the unmasking of U.S. persons affiliated with the Trump campaign, and then also to get into the Clinton violations of her private server, and also to look into Ukraine and Hunter Biden. So we know there's been some legitimate inquiry and investigation. And Senator Johnson has said, based on what he had seen up to that time, and now with these deals being exposed by the emails being released in the Post, he said the evidence is right there in front of everyone.
What Hunter Biden had going for him was his last name, and he traded that last name, as did other members of the Biden family, to make millions of dollars. You know, $4.2 million from Burisma, $3.5 million transferred from the former wife of the now-deceased former mayor of Moscow. The intricate web, the vast web of financial connections and money cash flowing back and forth between Hunter and his businesses and Chinese nationals that have the connections to the Chinese Communist Party, as well as People's Liberation Army as well. So this is very troubling.
It is very troubling. I mean, some of the emails show one of them sent to Biden May 13, 2017, from another contact, this one with China, a Chinese energy company. I told you earlier that Joe Biden under Obama was given authority to deal with two countries, Ukraine and China. And Hunter Biden is watching all this and immediately rushing in to see what kind of deals he can make. He was pursuing, based on the emails that were shown on this report released by the New York Post, that he was canvassing for possible business involvement with that Chinese firm as well, in, quote, deals that would, quote, be interesting for me and my family. And he also had other emails tying him to Burisma and the money he was getting from them, while his father was vice president. And here's the key. The Biden campaign, the official statement from the Biden campaign is reported by Politico. Biden's campaign would not rule out the possibility that the former VP had some kind of informal interaction with Pisarsky, which wouldn't appear on his official schedule. And they've been given copies of all the emails the Post has, and they're saying nothing. They want it to just go away. Don't talk about it. What we need right now is somebody that really has some guts and the ability to make a true mark for journalism.
We want to get this right. It's important that we get this right. But there's an answer. Every responsible news organization in America, and frankly the world, needs to be investigating the veracity of these accusations and those emails. This is important. And we need to get this right. And that's why we have the First Amendment and why we have a free and fair, supposedly fair, media.
Senator Kennedy, again, Louisiana, supposedly fair. We're going to get into that in more detail the next hour because it ain't fair. It ain't fair the way it's being done right now. Oh, and I got an update on that political editor, Steve Scully, who was going to host the debate that would have occurred last night between Trump and Biden. When, remember, he sent a tweet to Scaramucci, who had been a former White House advisor, who now has had a falling out with Trump, and asking Scaramucci, what should I say about Trump? And he claimed then later that I didn't send that. My Twitter account was hacked. It got hacked. He has since admitted what we all suspected. I made a mistake. I let my colleagues down and admitted that he sent the tweet. And so many had lined up to back him, saying, oh, he's good. He would have been a fair moderator. Even the Presidential Debate Commission said, oh, he's a fair guy. We know he didn't do it. Now you do. And it also exposes that you're willing again to use moderators that already slanted and anti-Trump. So how's the race going at this point? There's some interesting polls coming out, and one of them we might call, let's see which way the cookie crumbles, coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm sure many of you know the name Ice Cube. Rapper, actor, Big Three Basketball League founder. Had a prominent role on the SUV program, part of the Law and Order series, as a detective. Well, he has had, I should say, an interview scheduled with Cuomo Primetime. But they suddenly canceled it. Ice Cube tweeting out yesterday, so the powers that canceled my interview on Cuomo Primetime, I've actually been banned from CNN for a few months. I'm surprised they even asked. It seems they can't handle the truth. Why do they do it? Well, because he's admitted that he is working with the Trump campaign on an economic plan to help black Americans. He said, I talked to the Democrats about it, and they blew me off, saying, we'll talk to you after the election. The Trump campaign sent officials in and say, let us know you've got this contract with black America. Give us some of your ideas, see how we can incorporate it. And for that, CNN said, no, 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 we're not going to touch on you now. So some new polls coming out in Pennsylvania. That's a big battle state. Keystone State. The latest number showing Biden with a 3.2% lead, but it's tightening. That's within a margin of error. In Ohio, another key battleground state, they say they're on a record pace at this time with early voting, three times as many casting ballots in the first week compared to the same time in 2016. How's that one going to go? Florida. Florida Republicans have cut the voter registration gap with Democrats to an historic low, given the GOP boost in early voting. In other words, it's drawing tighter and tighter in Florida as well. Now, you know Dr. Gerard Lamero, we have on the program often. He strongly projected a landslide victory for Donald Trump, winning electoral college votes of 320, 330, maybe even higher. Chris Wallace of Fox News.
The polls have stayed remarkably stable, and Biden has maintained, you know, somewhere from a 7 to 11 point lead really since March. So that's one thing that would seem to indicate that that's where things are going. But, you just don't know if there's a hidden Trump vote and it'll come out. And, you know, I got egg on my face last time. I'm mixing my, my humble pie metaphors here. I'm not getting egg in my face this time. I am an absolute agnostic as to who's going to win the election. My only hope, Chris, is that there's a clear winner on election night. And, you know, we can put this behind us. The country will have decided. We've got a new president. If you'd like him, great. If you don't like him, deal with it, get over it, and let's move on with our lives.
Now, again, that was Chris Wallace on a Fox podcast. His closing remarks there, when we have a winner, if you like it, great. If you don't like it, let's just get on with our lives. Hillary and those around her, for the last 4 years, have been fuming, radicalizing, absolutely overboard. Pull your hair out. Set it on fire because Trump won when she should have won. See, Hillary was already upset, if you remember, when she was in the primary against Obama. She was going to win. She was going to hold the position as the first woman elected president. And then you got this young upstart out of Chicago, some junior senator from Illinois suddenly surfaced. And her world got turned upside down. She stayed with Bill Clinton because he owed her and he was going to help her win. And then here came Obama. And then she gets through 8 years of Obama. Now it's my turn. Nope. Here came Trump. Chris Wallace says, I'm not about to predict anymore. I don't want to get egg on my face again. Well, how about cookie crumbs? How about this? I mentioned Pennsylvania, how tight that race has gotten. Within 3 points, where Biden, by many polls, had held a much larger lead, up to 9 or better. There's a Pennsylvania bakery, a family-owned bakery in the town of Hatboro, that is every major election cycle has election-themed cookies based upon the candidate. And they do again this year. Trump 2020, red cookies, I should say sugar cookies with red icing and so forth. Biden 2020, white cookies with blue icing. And by the cookie sales in the past, the cookie sales have accurately predicted the winner in every major election. Every major election. On the presidential races. They've been selling the cookies left and right. They keep trying to stay ahead of them. But there's one cookie that keeps going faster than the others. The Trump cookies. The baker says they are going 3-1. 3-1 in Pennsylvania. At least at her cookie shop. For what it's worth. Why not? For everything else that's being predicted, why not look at a cookie? We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the law that allows social media companies to go crazy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.